Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Chatham Community Church. My name is Jaime. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm glad you're here with us this morning on our 18th anniversary. So thank you all for being here with us. Whether it's your first time or it's been a while, we are celebrating with you on this day, and we'll talk a little bit more about what God's been up to over the past 18 years a little later and what we're looking forward to in the next 3 years. I want to ask you a question. What do you think a group of kids might be able to do in a neighborhood in a weekend that might be able to save that neighborhood? What could a group of kids do in a weekend that might save their neighborhood? It's a pertinent question because that's the question that the 1985 movie The Goonies seeks out to answer. Early in the movie, Mikey, Data, Mouth, and Chunk find a map claiming to lead the way to the lost treasure of the pirate One-Eyed Willie. If they can find that treasure, they reason themselves, they can pay off the banks that are trying to repossess and foreclose their homes and save their neighborhood. Though they're joined later on by some older kids, some teenagers, three teenagers, at every turn in their quest, the odds are stacked against them. The adversity that they experience seems too high for them to overcome. Between the traps that they find as they're trying to make their way navigating this map, and when they find themselves in the crosshairs of some escaped criminals, they are clearly not equipped to deal with all that's in front of them. But the Goonies have a saying, Goonies never say die. And they repeat this saying over and over again in the movie. It's a saying of hope. It's a saying of resolve. And they keep that hope. And at every turn, when the odds seem insurmountable, when the resources seem incapable of overcoming what's in front of them, they keep just doing what they can and offering what they have. And in the end, they find the treasure. And the criminals are captured. And the neighborhood is saved. It's a remarkable thing that these kids do. And it was all built on doing what they could and giving what they had and keeping hope and pressing on. That's not just a story that you can find in movies or a story that you can find in literature or in fiction. It's also stories that you hear in business, stories that you hear from history. It's impressive how many stories there are of remarkable things that get accomplished with groups of people, whether small or large, that are committed to something and keep pressing on and keep pressing in and keep offering what they have, even when they know it's not enough. But they offer what they have in the hopes that if they keep pressing on and keep giving what they can, they might contribute to something greater. That's a good bit of our church's 18-year history. Our church starts with just a couple of people praying for a whole year, and then 20 people gathering on someone's front porch and eventually being sent out to plant a church here in Chatham County. We'll share more about that a little later on, along with what we're hoping for the next 3 years. But it's a story that's also found in the text that we read today. The passage that we read from the Gospel of Mark is a story itself with a remarkable ending that comes with people who have limited resources and are facing what seem like insurmountable odds offer what they have. And 5,000 people, more than 5,000 people actually, are fed from just a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. So let's walk through the passage to see what goes into this remarkable story, this miracle, and how that might connect to our stories, yours and mine, here in Chatham County in present day. The story in the Gospel of Mark occurs during the time of Jesus' life that's known as his public ministry, when he's out and about preaching and performing miracles and inviting people to follow him. By the time we meet him in this passage, he seems to be somewhat well known. The crowd, just accounting for men, is 5,000, which means there's many more people when you take into account women and children. A crowd of that size indicates that he is particularly well known in that region. 5,000 was greater than the number of residents in one of those villages, which tells you that people are coming from all over the place. But also, as in the context of the miracle that's about to happen, it gives you some indication that no one nearby village would have been able to supply enough food to feed all these people who are following Jesus or who are coming to Jesus. At the start of the passage, Jesus' disciples, his closest 12, are returning to him after having been sent out to do the things that they had seen Jesus doing. They were going around preaching or proclaiming that the kingdom of God had come. And they were bringing about healing and freedom to oppressed people. They had just come back ready to report all that they had seen and heard, all that they had done. And Jesus, who's in the midst of the crowds, wants to draw them away because they are hungry, they haven't eaten, they haven't rested. He wants to go away with these 12s that they might replenish, recover, spend some time together, and debrief what happened. But as they are getting away to a place where they might be alone as a group of 12 or 13, the crowd follows. And Jesus catches sight of the crowd. But when he catches sight of the crowd, he doesn't just see a burdensome horde of people who are about to interrupt his plans. He recognizes something in them. He observes and notices something in them. He sees their need. They're coming to him in need of direction, in need of purpose, in need of sustenance, both physical, which he'll meet later, but also of deep spiritual need. They have needs of their soul, and they're coming to him because they believe that he might be the one who could meet those needs. They've heard stories. They've heard teaching. They've caught wind of all that's going on, and they come to him not just some out of like curiosity or wonder. They're coming to him in genuine hope, in genuine need, in genuine longing. And the scripture tells us that when Jesus sees these crowds who are interrupting his plans, he doesn't see them as a burden. He doesn't see them as an interruption. He has compassion on them. And in the context of this scripture, the word compassion means more than just feeling pity for someone or feeling sorry for them, though there is some overlap in what those things mean. Compassion, it matches that feeling with a sense of being compelled to act. It is to recognize and be affected by another's need and be compelled to act. So you see a need, you feel the need, and you can't help but do something to meet the need. And Jesus feels compassion for these people. And he shows compassion. He acts in light of that compassion by meeting both the needs of their soul and the needs of their bodies. He teaches them, and then he makes sure that they are fed. Jesus lives out compassion for them. And in fact, Jesus himself is embodied compassion. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection are evidence of God's compassion for the world, God's compassion for humanity, God's compassion for you and for me. See, in Jesus, God is showing that he has seen our world's need. Our world's need for things that have been broken to be repaired. Things that have been broken by time. Things that have been broken by circumstance. Things that we have broken. In our relationship with him. In our relationships with one another. In our relationships with our world. And Jesus and God sees the pain of that. He sees the pain that we feel. He sees the pain in our world. He sees what we're missing out on. But God doesn't just see. God feels compassion. God is compelled to act. God sends Jesus. And in Jesus, God steps into the story. And he does what needs to be done for broken things to be repaired. For you and I to be able to be restored into life to the fullest for all times. Just like Jesus sees the crowd and has compassion on them. Sees their need, feels their need, and is compelled to act. God sees you, and God sees me. God sees us. God sees our need. God feels the need, the needs that we have, and God has compassion on us. And God is still moving to meet the needs that you and I have. So take a moment right now and assess the state of your life. Assess the state of your soul and consider where you might be experiencing a need to feel God's compassion, to feel God acting in compassion for you today. Where do you need to become aware that God sees your need, that God cares for your need, and that God can move to meet the need, and God wants to move to meet the need? Can you sense those places in your life where you would benefit from experiencing God's compassion today? Because God does have compassion for you. God does have compassion for me. God has compassion for all of us. If you open yourself up to it, you can experience God's compassion today. whether it's the big picture compassion embodied in Jesus or the compassion that manifests itself in the everyday needs, sometimes in the longer term needs that we have. It doesn't matter if you played a part in developing that need or if someone else caused it or if circumstances have just caused it to emerge. God still feels, God still sees, and God still moves to meet the need. Would you receive that today? Would you receive God's compassion? As we receive God's compassion, as we experience God's compassion, it is like a seed that gets sown in us, and it can't help but be reaped in compassion for others. As we receive God's compassion, God grows compassion in us, and God invites us to experience compassion for others, to see their needs, to feel the need, and to move on behalf of meeting the need. And we see that in the passage. God is growing compassion in the disciples as he sees the need. They see the need too. In fact, they report the need, the physical need, to Jesus, and they have a very natural reaction upon seeing the crowds and their needs. When seeing that it's getting late and the crowds are still around and it's time for dinner, they say, "Send them away so they can get food. They've been here for a long time. They need to eat. Tell them to go take care of that themselves." You know, it's like those people who come over to your house at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and at 5 o'clock they're still around and you did not have any dinner plans with them. You have somewhere to be. You can't necessarily feed them and you're hoping that they can take a hint once it turns to 5:30 and 6 and you're not in the kitchen. They see that there's a very real need. These people are hungry. Not just these people, they're hungry. They were hungry when the passage started. But they're not ready to do something about it. And part of the reason they're not ready to do something about it is because they don't have the resources to do something about it. But Jesus has had compassion on these people. And Jesus' compassion doesn't just extend to the spiritual need. It doesn't just extend to the need of the soul. Jesus' compassion extends to the physical need. And he wants the disciples to experience that compassion as well and be part of how he's going to meet the physical need. And so he says to them, "You give them something to eat." He's inviting them. He's inviting them to not just see the need. He's inviting them to feel the need and to do something about the need. And they get into this back and forth with him. They get into this back and forth about how much money it would take. They get into this back and forth about whether or not Jesus actually wants them and whether it's feasible to go into town. And it can't be just one town. It would have to be multiple towns to buy enough food to feed all these people, let alone the logistical challenges of carrying food for 5,000 plus people. And alongside that, it's they have some food, but all they have around them are 5 loaves and 2 fish. But Jesus still wants them to be part of it. He wants them to be part of what he's about to do. We said this last week, but it's worth saying again. God has consistently invited people like you and me into partnership with him to bring about his blessing and his power to bear in the world. Make no mistake about it, Jesus could have made sure the people God fed without involving the disciples. There are feeding stories in the Old Testament where food just appears. That could have happened here as well. But Jesus invites the disciples into this good work. He wants them to experience compassion in a similar way that he's experiencing it. And he wants them to be part of meeting that need in partnership with him, even when they don't have the resources to do it. And that is still true today in some ways. God is still inviting people like you and me. God invites us into his work of showing compassion to meet the needs around us, to meet the needs in our community. And listen, it's not like you have to be a super Christian to be part of this. It's not like at some point in walking with Jesus, you graduate into, "I get to be part of showing God's compassion to the world" grade. The disciples in this passage are skeptical at first. They are resistant. They argue as much as they can with Jesus. They are in no way super. They are, in fact, in many ways like us. Because I'm skeptical sometimes of the things I feel God is inviting me to, and sometimes I resist. But let's observe what they get right. because it's something you and I can strive to get right as well. It's that even with their skepticism, even with their resistance, even though they're invited to do something impossible with limited resources, they are willing to trust that Jesus knows what he's doing. They are willing to trust and act in light of that. They do what he asks when he tells them to account for what food they have, to confirm that they have limited resources. They do what he asks when he tells them to sit the people down in groups of 100 and of 50. They do what he asks when he invites them to give him the food. They do what he asks when he tells them to go distribute the food. They do what he asks when he tells them to gather the leftovers. And because of that, they get to not only witness a miracle, they get to be part of it. They get to participate in the miracle. And friends, it is risky because Jesus puts them front and center. The people are hungry. And you've got these 12 going out and not telling them, go, but telling them, sit down. We're not told how the food is multiplied, but I can't imagine 12 people carrying 5,000 plus people's worth of food in their hands. Either it multiplied as they were distributing it, or they had to come back to Jesus to get more. I don't know, but can you imagine? Maybe, I don't know, how much food can one person carry? Maybe enough food for 10 people. Let's give it a generous estimate there. And after 10 people, not knowing if there's going to be more food, person number 11 is going to be upset. But the disciples are out there. They trust. They take the next step and the next step and the next step after that. And that's why they get to participate in what Jesus does. God wants to bring blessing to the people around us, to our communities, to our town, to our neighborhoods, to our workplaces, to our schools, to our families. He sees that there are needs to be met. He has compassion on those needs. He wants us to have compassion as well. He wants people to know him, and he wants us to be part of it, even if we're a bit skeptical, even if we're resistant, even if we push back, he's still inviting us to be part of it. Are we willing, like the disciples, to trust him? To trust him even if we don't have the resources, to trust him even if it doesn't make sense? Are we willing to trust God with the next step, even when it feels illogical or impossible, even if you don't know how the story is going to end? Because they don't know how the food's going to get multiplied. They don't know how the people are going to be fed. All they've got is an invitation to trust in Jesus and take the next step. Because folks, sometimes on the other side of the invitation to trust, even when the resources seem limited, even when the task seems impossible, even when the odds seem stacked against us, sometimes on the other side of the invitation to trust is something truly remarkable. Over 5,000 people are fed in this instance, and the 12 got a chance to be part of it. They assessed the need. They were aware that they didn't have enough to meet that need. They gathered the resources that they had, and it was still not enough, but what they did was bring those resources to Jesus. They did what he asked him, what he asked them to. And then Jesus multiplied the resources to meet the need. Jesus multiplied the resources to meet the need. In late September of last year, a hurricane devastated western North Carolina. And soon after, a couple of women from our church started to feel a burden for that community. They wanted to do something for folks in western North Carolina. Now, our church was in the process of organizing a larger scale response. But their compassion was so great that they felt like they couldn't wait for that larger church response to come together. They needed to do something now. And I want to make clear, they were not belligerent about it. They understood, but they wanted to know, could they do something? Of course, we said. Their compassion was compelling them. So they prayed to see what they might do. They made contact with some folks in western North Carolina, and they became aware of a great need for coats, for blankets, and for boots, particularly in communities that were hard to reach in that moment, that first-line relief efforts were having a hard time getting to. Now, they didn't have enough coats to meet those needs on hand. They didn't have enough blankets to meet those needs. on hand. They didn't have enough to meet those needs on hand. And they had a short turnaround time to make it happen. But they had compassion. They felt that God was inviting them to do something, so they jumped at the opportunity. They prayed. They made calls. They sent emails. They put out boxes. And they prayed some more. When the day came and I saw them sort out the donations, it felt like bags and bags kept coming into our multipurpose room down the hall. It felt like the bags multiplied. In the end, they sent out two 15-foot trailers full of stuff. Full of stuff. Along with a good number of Bibles to meet both the physical needs and the spiritual needs of a community that desperately needed it at a critical time. Friends, when we respond to needs with compassion, God will take what we can offer and multiply it for the sake of blessing those around us and drawing people to Him. So take a moment right now. There are needs around you. Assess the needs, particularly the ones where you feel your heart drawn to them. Because if there's something in your heart about that need, it is likely God trying to reap some compassion for the sake of that need. The places where God is moving your heart. Now, it's likely that if you take stock of what you can do, what you might be able to offer, it might feel like it's not enough to meet that need. That's okay. You might need God to do something greater. And here's the thing, God wants to meet those needs. God wants to do the things that only He can do. God wants to multiply like He did in this passage. So over the next week, over the next day, over the next month, trust God with what you have for the sake of meeting this need, whatever it might be. Even if it feels small, even if it feels insignificant, even if it feels like it's not enough, offer it to Him. Trust in the God that can multiply. And then follow His invitation. Take the next step. Do the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. Because God does remarkable things. When faithful people trust Him with what they have to offer in the hope that it might contribute to something remarkable to meet a great need. And we want to be those kinds of people. For the sake of our families, for the sake of our communities, for the sake of our workplaces, our schools, our friends, for the sake of the great needs that are around us. Let's be those kinds of people. Chatham Community Church's history has been one of faithful people trusting God with what they have, with what they could offer, in the hope that God might take it and do something greater. We're celebrating 18 years, and that's been the story of Chatham Community Church. Year after year, day after day, people trusting God with what they had for the sake that He might do something greater to meet the needs in Chatham County and the needs of its people. But a story that sets the tone for Chatham County actually occurs a few years prior to when we ever met on a Sunday morning. There was a group of people who lived in Chatham County, but went to a church in Chapel Hill, and they gathered on a front porch one evening. They had a burden for this county. They had a burden for their neighbors. And they wanted to see what God might do to meet that need. What God might do in light of that burden. They wanted to see if God might be inviting them to plant a church in Chatham County. There were about 20 of them that first evening. And they prayed and they talked. And as they prayed and they talked, they became keenly aware of how unequipped and unqualified they were to plant a church in Chatham County. How daunting a task it would be. And how much it would cost them to even start the process. They had put down roots in this church in Chapel Hill. They had developed as leaders there. It was a lot to consider leaving. Many of them asked, in light of how unqualified we are, in light of how hard it's going to be, in light of how much it's going to cost us, why would we do this? Why would we take this risk? But they prayed and kept talking. And as they did that, a deep conviction started to emerge. And an answer came to the why. And you can ask them. Some of them are still around. They will tell you that the answer that emerged, that felt like the yes and amen to that group of 20, was because the love of Christ compels us. See, God was reaping compassion from them for Chatham County. Not long after that, a number of them became part of the launch group of what became Chatham Community Church. Moved by God's compassion, they offered what they had, and they took faithful step after faithful step. After 18 years, lots has happened. Some of them were with us for a long time until God called them elsewhere. They moved. There were also some hard stories in our history. But a significant number of those first 20 are still with us. Still taking faithful step after faithful step, they can testify how God has multiplied. How God has multiplied 18 years later. God has multiplied what those 20 offered. Here's what we're seeing 18 years in. 18 years in, we're seeing more and more baptisms than ever before. More people saying yes to Jesus. We're seeing more and more people volunteer, giving what they have to offer for the sake of what God might do in Chatham County. We had volunteer appreciation last Friday. It was the largest number of RSVPs and the largest attendance we've ever had at volunteer appreciation. People saying yes to being part of God's mission. A number of people were volunteering, were there for the first time because they had started volunteering just that year. It was beautiful to watch. We're seeing more and greater involvement in all our community outreach projects like our Chatham Serve Sundays. We're able to launch more projects and help more people, invest more money, not just locally, but through our Western North Carolina relief efforts as well. In a few weeks, I think we have over 20 people. Actually, it's this coming weekend, right? Or the following one. Yeah, it's this coming weekend. Who are going to go this coming weekend and spend the whole weekend in Western North Carolina meeting needs there. Bless the Lord for that. We're seeing more and more people participate in workshops, seminars, and classes designed to strengthen their faith and give them the tools to apply their faith to their lives, whether it's our ABCs of leading at CCC or our marriage course or our habits of the household, any number of opportunities. People are saying, I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to grow. We're seeing more and more generosity than ever before. Just a snapshot. We've had double-digit increases in giving year over year. So far this fiscal year, God is multiplying even more. There is a 35% increase in giving. Bless the Lord. God is multiplying. We're seeing more and more people come onto staff. When this church started, there were zero staff. This church was started by folks like you. The church that sent us loaned us a pastor for a few hours a week. When Alex was hired, he was the only staff. At our last staff gathering, I think we had 17 staff. God has multiplied. And here's the thing. Many of them started by just coming on a Sunday morning, volunteering, and continuing to say yes until God told them, trust me now with making this your professional career, with coming on staff. They've continued to give their yes. We've seen more and more people attend on Sunday morning than ever before. Right now, we are at 646 people across our four services and our online service on a Sunday morning. Now, I don't know if you know this, but not everyone comes every Sunday morning to church. But what this means is that if our average is over 600 people, we likely have over 800 people who would call Chatham Community Church their home. That is amazing. God has multiplied what those 20 offer. And we say, bless the Lord and thank you. We are celebrating that. Thank you for your yeses to the Lord along the way. There's so much. But friends, just like 18 years ago or 20 years ago, when the need felt great and the resources felt limited, it's still that way today. What are 850 people or 800 people in light of 83,000 and their needs? What are $1 million in light of 83,000 and their needs? There are still more people to reach, more people to be helped, more people to draw to Jesus, more people to connect with, more good to be done, more ways to grow as followers of Jesus. Around this time last year, our lead pastor Alex took some time away to pray and ask God as he was looking at what God was doing in our community and how God was multiplying. He was asking God, God, what do you want us to do with how things have been multiplied? And he sensed God saying, I want you to offer it back to me. He came to our executive leadership team, our staff team, and said, here's what I have in mind. Here's what I think God is inviting us to. We heard, we prayed, we refined. Over the last year, we've brought it to growing numbers of leadership circles in our church and said, this is what we think God is inviting us to. We've prayed, we've listened, we've refined at every instance. But at every instance, there's been a sense of yes. We've been percolating on this vision for a year, and I want you to know that us bringing it to you is not us saying it is now in concrete and this is what we are going to do exactly. This is us inviting you into the process. Inviting you because you are part of this. We are seeing God is asking for our yes, and we know God is asking for a yes from all of us. So we're asking, what's next? Given what the Lord has already given us, what he's doing among us, in the tens of thousands in need, what is next? Well, here's what we know isn't next. It's not to change the mission and vision that God called us with here in Chatham County. We are still going to connect people to God and each other. We are still going to lead people to become authentic followers of Jesus to engage our world for good. We are offering all that we have and that vision back to God, and what we sense God inviting us to for the next 3 years is to be a force multiplier for kingdom good. We are moved by compassion for the sake of the needs, and we're asking God to multiply what he's given us and to use us as a multiplier in the community for kingdom good. There are sort of two categories that we see God inviting us to exercise multiplicative force through him in our community. We want to bring spiritual good. We are uniquely commissioned by the Lord to invite people into salvation, into kingdom community. It is the greatest good. Jesus met that need in the people in that day when he taught them. But the earthly needs also matter to Jesus. He fed the people as well. There are needs here, earthly needs that matter to God, and we want to be part of meeting those needs in Chatham County. So what we're going to do, the sort of three buckets are in line with our mission and vision. We're going to connect more people to God and to community. We're going to develop more authentic followers of Jesus, and we're going to continue to engage our world for good in greater ways. Here's some of the ways that this is going to look, or that we're praying for. There are numbers attached to these things, goals. And I want you to know that the goals are simply a way for us to be intentional about doing things. They're a marker for us to consider whether we're being intentional and whether the things that we're doing are actually bearing fruit. But here's what we're praying for, longing for, and working towards. We're praying that our attendance grows from 650 to 1,000 by December of 2027. 1,000 people on a Sunday morning between our services and our online community. We're not just praying that people come, we're praying that people make decisions to follow Jesus. We're longing for people, 100 people between now and December of 2027, make decisions where they're saying, I am following Jesus. Here's the thing, we've offered that to God and we've already seen him multiply. A couple of weeks ago, we had baptisms and faith affirmations here at Chatham Community Church, here in Pittsburgh specifically. We had the largest number of people get up and say that they were committing to Jesus on one Sunday morning that we've had ever in our history on one Sunday morning. God is already multiplying, and we're longing for more. Now, with that many people, we know that our primary point for connection and community needs to grow. So we've already hired someone whose focus is going to be making sure we have enough small groups in Chatham County, all across Chatham County, so that people can continue to connect and grow. We're hoping by 40 by December of 2027. We also want to position ourselves organizationally to continue to bear fruit. You know, a church of 100 needs different things than a church of 650 and needs different structures and systems than a church of 1,000. The Church Center app that we just talked about is one of the ways that we're growing into that. Because as we grow, communication becomes more complex. A few Sundays ago, we had a cancellation. We had to cancel one service. And we emailed and we posted and emails went to spam and posts on social media didn't get seen. And some of you showed up and we're here. We want to make sure that whenever there's something we need to communicate to you, there is an easy way to do that. The Church Center app allows us to do that, but also allows you to connect with other groups within our church and with people you need to get in touch with. Here's another way we're looking to position ourselves. In order to grow to 1,000, we need a new space. We've been here renting for 7 years. God has been faithful and fruitful here with us. Last March, we launched the second service here at Pittsburgh because we couldn't fit in one. Friends, if Chatham County is already in 83,000 and growing, we know that a lot of that growth is happening here in Pittsburgh over the next few years. We can't just have 5 services here on a Sunday morning. But also, we can't be at the mercy of a building that is not in the best of shapes and doesn't have space to accommodate the kind of growth that we're hoping for. So we're looking, we're praying, we're knocking on doors. Literally, we're sending letters, cold calling people to see if there is a space, to see where God has invited us to. So far, we've been at it for over a year. We haven't borne fruit. We're sharing this with you because we want you to pray, but also see opportunities and pass them along to us. If you know someone whose land isn't on the market near Pittsburgh, but they might be open to having a conversation, see if they'd be willing to have a conversation with us. Because we want a permanent place for this campus, that we might be continued to be positioned to meet the growth in Chatham County. We're looking to be in Siler City by December of 2027. Years ago, we had this sense that we wanted people to have an opportunity to connect with the Chatham Community Church within 20 minutes of where they lived in Chatham County. The last rung of that ladder is a spot in Siler City. We prayed about it a few years ago. In that time, we've developed a plan. We've developed a system. We're waiting for the right timing, the right people, and the right door to open. And we're hoping that by December 2027, we are there. We're also going to develop more authentic followers of Jesus. There are going to be new opportunities for people to engage with Jesus wherever they are on their faith journey, whether they are simply curious about Jesus or whether they've been at this for decades. We want people to have opportunities to invest in their own growth and to apply faith to their lives and all around them. By 2027, there will be a calendar of courses. We're already building into that. A calendar of courses for opportunities for you and for everyone that might come to invest in their own growth and development. Here's our goal, and here's what we're going to ask you. Our goal is that every person who attends Chatham Community Church takes advantage of one opportunity a year to invest in their own spiritual development and invest in their own growth. The Church Center app will be good to find out about those opportunities and sign up for them, but also keep an eye out, keep an ear open, and say yes to your own growth and development. We're going to continue to engage the world for good, our world for good, through the partnerships that we have. One of the things I love about this church is that this church would rather stretch out hands and grab hands with other organizations that are doing good work than do it on our own. And we're going to continue to do that. We are going to invest more resources and impact through Chatham Serves and meeting regional needs like the Western North Carolina Initiative. We're going to continue to create partnerships with our local nonprofits, creative ways to use our reach to amplify their voices, to meet the needs, and continue to invest in the good work that they're doing. And we're also going to partner with faith-based organizations who are looking for a presence in Chatham County to meet a specific need, and we can serve them. We hosted Bible study fellowship starting last year. First time they've been in Chatham County in a long time. We started Celebrate Recovery here just a few weeks ago because there are needs for that in Chatham County, and we have space and we have resources, and we're offering them to God to say, would you multiply it to meet these needs? We're looking for more opportunities in the years to come. This is a lot to remember, so I've got a gift for you. On your way out, you're going to receive a bag. In that bag, one of the things that you're going to have is a summary sheet of how we're looking to be a force multiplier for kingdom good. Take it, pray into it, see what you are drawn to. I've got another gift for you because the vision is collaborative. Over the next week, we're going to have two opportunities to have sort of town hall Q&A gatherings. One is going to be here at Pittsburgh. One is going to be at North Chatham next Sunday, and the following Friday. These are not exclusive to one campus or the other. We're hosting one here on a Sunday, one there on a Friday. You go to the day that you can go, regardless of what campus it is. Both Alex and I are going to be there. We'll share a bit more about the vision. You can share, ask questions, share ideas, and see where God is drawing you to and how we might continue to refine and participate in this vision together. Friends, we're giving what we have to offer as a church, as a community, and asking God to multiply it, to bring some of that multiplicative power to bear in Chatham County. And you are part of this. Like I said, on your way out, you're going to get a bag. That bag is going to have this card. It's going to have the instructions for the Church Center app, and it's also going to have an empty straw basket for you. Here's why. In the passage that we read, the story starts with the disciples hungry. By the end of the passage, they've gathered baskets, 12 baskets full of leftover bread and fish. Have you ever considered that the amount of bread and fish that was left over at the end was even more than the 5 loaves and 2 fishes that they started with? See, Jesus invites the disciples to give of what they have. They're hungry. They haven't eaten. Invites them to act in compassion, but he doesn't forget them. At the end, they get to see that God moves in compassion, not just to meet the needs of others, and not just to barely do enough, but to multiply in abundance. We know that God is inviting us, or we believe that God is calling this to us, not to spend us down in order to meet the needs of others, but actually to multiply what we have to offer so that those needs can be met, but also that we can see that God has abundantly supplied for our needs as well. So we're asking God to show us his abundant multiplicative power in our community and in our lives for the next 3 years. Would you join us in that? Let me pray for us. Gracious God, thank you. Thank you for the folks over 18 years ago who said yes and offered what they had, even though it felt like it wasn't enough to make a dent in the needs in Chatham County. Lord, they offered it in faith and hope that the compassion you were birthing in them was going to bear fruit, and so it has, and we say yes and amen. And Lord, we're aware that there are more needs and that there's more compassion being birthed in us. And so, Lord, we don't hoard what you've given us. We don't simply say we have arrived. We say today, Lord, we give it back to you. We give it back to you, God. Would you multiply it to break the addictions in Chatham County? Would you multiply it to restore the families that are broken in Chatham County? Would you multiply it to feed the hungry in Chatham County? Would you multiply it to comfort the afflicted in Chatham County? Lord, would you multiply it to draw into the light those that are in darkness in Chatham County? Lord, would you multiply it to meet our needs as well, Lord? We offer it to you for the sake of your glory and the sake of your kingdom. And we ask that you would call us and that we would say yes in your name. Amen.